Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. So, you're on another diet, trying to lose weight. Again. What is this, your 217th attempt? You're so embarrassed, you're not telling anyone. And maybe that's your problem. A new company utilizes social media, competition, financial incentives, and a phone app to help you reach your weight loss goals. At dietbetter.com, you pay into a pool and publicly commit to losing 4% of your body weight in a month. If you do, you win and you split the pot. If you don't, you're out your entry fee.
Does this kind of motivation really work? What's different about Diet Better than, say, a weight loss incentive program in the workplace or dieting with friends? Joining us is behavioral weight loss expert Dr. Tricia Leahy. She's assistant professor in research at Brown Medical School and the Miriam Hospital's Weight Control and Diabetes Research Center. Her work is frequently funded by the National Institutes of Health. Dr. Leahy is on Diet Better's advisory team.
Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Leahy.
Thank you.
Now, the dietbetter.com website revolves around the game Diet Bet, and there is a phone app with the same name. Could you briefly describe the game Diet Bet?
Essentially, the idea is anybody who's interested in losing weight bets a certain amount of money, however much money they choose, and if they lose at least 4% of their initial body weight, they get to split the amount of money, the pool of money that was bet at the beginning of the game.
So who organizes these games and how do people get involved?
So the company Diet Bet actually organizes these games. It's all web-based. So if you want to get involved, you just go to dietbetter.com and you can either join an existing game. So you could join with people that you may not know that are strangers. Or if you want, you could get a bunch of your friends and family members involved and create your own game.
So this is social media applied to weight loss. And I guess there's pressure because obviously you've put your money where your mouth is. I mean, you're going to be accountable. There's people, I guess, cheering each other on. Is this effective?
Yeah, we've actually done some analyses of the weight losses produced by Diet Bet, and we are, in fact, finding that perhaps these financial incentives by, as you say, putting your money where your mouth is, plus having these social interactions and this ongoing support and friendly competition, which can actually be quite fun, does yield some pretty impressive weight losses. So in our most recent games, we're looking at a weight loss among those who win of about 9 pounds a month.
How does this compare with other organized weight loss programs like Weight Watchers and any of the others that brings people together? You have a sense of community. There's a way in and accountability. How does Diet Bet compare with that?
You know, I think that in programs like Weight Watchers, they do bring people together. And more so, though, the typical traditional Weight Watchers type programs, they bring people together face to face. And one of the things that's nice, though, about Diet Bet is while they continue to create a community, they really foster social interaction. So it's really a big piece of their platform, and they encourage people to post things, to like things, to cheer each other on. In addition to that, it's all online. So, you know, in our fast-paced lives, it's really nice to be able to log in whenever you want, well, at 11 o'clock at night after the kids are in bed and all is said and done, and to be able to engage in that platform instead of having to go to a pre-scheduled meeting.
I can see why the convenience of that would be helpful, but what about the anonymity? Because that's a real difference. You're online. You might not have even used your real name. That seems to be very different than actually having to see other people face-to-face, especially when you're trying to lose weight and not feeling at your best. How does the anonymity factor into this?
We don't know whether or not anonymity per se is a good thing or a bad thing. And as you can imagine, it could kind of cut both ways. So in some ways, by people knowing that you're trying to lose weight, some folks will be helpful in your social network, and other people might not be quite as helpful and may actually try to sabotage you. So there's this element of anonymity by joining kind of a web-based program where everybody has a really similar goal, and that's weight loss. It might even work for you in that everybody's trying and helping one another to achieve a weight loss goal. And by not knowing exactly, you know, what's going on in somebody's life, you're really focused on weight loss. And there aren't really many ulterior motives per se.
How does Diet Better, the company, or Diet Bet, the game, really know that you weigh what you say you weigh and that you've lost what you've said you've lost?
Yeah, sure. So they have a really robust weigh-in system in which participants, individuals who participate in DietBet, actually have to do photo-based weigh-ins. And they have to wear what they call airport security attire clothing, which means no coats, sweaters, bulky items. And they have to take pictures of themselves in this clothing, on the scale, with the scales readout, and they do that before and after the game, and in some instances regularly throughout the game. So in that way, they have this pretty robust system that a lot of other online programs don't have to try to verify weight.
I imagine, though, that if you're a person who has a significant amount of weight, you wouldn't, as a rule. I mean, you know, people who are fit and love the way they look will take selfies of themselves. But I imagine encouraging somebody to take a picture when they feel, oh, I've got to wear fitted clothes, I'm going to take a head-to-toe shot. Is that a sticking point for some people?
You know, we don't know. We haven't really had that feedback. So I think that's kind of an empirical question. We're not certain about that.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Raff.
And we're talking with weight loss expert Dr. Tricia Leahy about the program Diet Bet. It is an app and a game in which you bet others that you can lose weight. Dr. Leahy is a professor and researcher at Brown Medical School and the Miriam Hospital's Weight Control and Diabetes Research Center. One of the things that was intriguing about Diet Bet is that you can play multiple games, and though you discussed the fact that the basic game is 4% of your body weight, that's the bet that you'll lose that within roughly a month's time. Diet Bet's now implemented 10% of your body weight over a six-month period. That's a newer version?
Yeah, that's right. So they now have what's called their Transformer game, and it is the longer version. And basically that came about because a lot of people who participated in the shorter program, the approximately one-month program, as you mentioned, really wanted more of a longer-term program to be able to perhaps meet a larger weight loss goal. So it's 6 months and then 10% of your initial body weight.
I know you talked about this earlier, and one of the things that you mentioned is that cheering each other on and being supportive turns out to be a key component of the success that people have losing weight. But if everybody in your group meets their goal and loses weight, that means nobody takes home, who takes home the money? What I'm wondering about is if somebody doesn't meet their goal, that could be your money. So I'm wondering if it sets up the competition within the group. You can say that everybody in the group wants everyone to be successful, but then nobody would get the pot, right?
Yeah, so there's this cooperation competition going on. So everybody's going to split the amount of money that was bet at game start if they lose the 4% or the 10%. So in that way, you know, it's not like others have to fail in order for you to win. You're always going to at least win the money that you bet at the start of the game if you lose that weight. So, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to get your money back and you're going to be lighter. So there's really no way to lose per se.
How does this tie in with this? I mean, you have to admit, any of us who follow health and wellness, there has been a huge explosion of fitness apps, calorie tracking apps, and workout apps. And I wondered how DietBet ties in with this whole emerging trend. I mean, because for those who lose weight, is the process made easier by these devices? I mean, it makes logging, exercise, and food easier, or is it accountability? I mean, programs like Weight Watchers based on accountability. Is accountability in the end the key factor?
I think that accountability is a really important factor. With the DietBet app, you do have that accountability and that you, at your convenience, you can connect with your DietBet community and post your weight and tell people what's going on. And we actually showed in one of our papers that's soon to be coming out that people who post more and are presumably that much more accountable actually lose more weight. So I do think that the DietBet app affords that in mobile technology.
Can social media really lead to social change and personal change? I mean, are we really that influenced by the company that we keep?
Well, I know that there's really good data to suggest that our social networks impact our health outcomes. So social networks have been shown to impact obesity, smoking cessation. They've also been shown to impact happiness. So, you know, we can definitely be affected by the company we keep. I think that the emerging evidence suggests that perhaps these social media type platforms can impact our health. So I do think, though, that a lot more work needs to be done in this area and that we need to figure out how best to harness social media to truly impact health. And I do think that DietBet is really kind of a pioneer in this area and a leader in social dieting and provides an excellent platform to help further health behavior change.
Dr. Tricia Leahy, professor at Brown Medical School and the Miriam Hospital's Weight Control and Diabetes Research Center. Dr. Leahy is also on the Diet Better's advisory team. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
For more information on DietBet and Dr. Tricia Leahy, visit the Take Care webpage at wrvo.org.
You've heard about it for years, and you've come to accept it as fact. But is it backed by medical science? Or is it a story repeated so often that it's taken on a veneer of truth?
Medical fact? Or health and wellness urban legend? We ask the experts in debunk or de-truth and come up with an answer you can trust. Our next guest is one of the country's leading authorities on arthritis care and treatment. Dr. Robert Schmerling is an associate professor in medicine at Harvard Medical School and clinical chief of rheumatology at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. He's been a practicing rheumatologist for over 25 years. Can we really get arthritis from cracking our knuckles?
Great question. This comes up all the time. I'm asked frequently by patients. And there actually is some data on this to attempt to answer the question, believe it or not. The short answer is no. Cracking your knuckles is not a recognized or clear cause of arthritis. There may be other reasons not to crack your knuckles, including not annoying other people. There are rare reports of people dislocating their fingers or causing ligament damage from doing it. But by and large, it seems to be harmless. The best data comes from a couple of studies that looked at habitual knuckle crackers and comparing them to people who reported never cracking their knuckles. And there didn't seem to be a big difference in terms of arthritis. And one of the best reports I've seen, or at least most entertaining, was an arthritis doctor who just by habit cracked the knuckles of one hand throughout his life. And well into his advanced years, he got x-rays of both hands, and his hands had equal amounts of arthritis on both sides. And he actually wrote this as a letter to one of the major arthritis journals as proof that knuckle cracking does not cause arthritis.
Dr. Robert Schmerling is a rheumatologist and associate professor in medicine at Harvard Medical School. If there's something you're not sure is fact or fiction, email us your medical myth or health urban legend at takecare@wrvo.org, and we'll try to get an answer for you.
On next week's show, one of the most effective diagnostic tests to detect colon cancer is also one of the most dreaded procedures. Who's afraid of a colonoscopy? A nationally recognized gastroenterologist explains why this is one test you shouldn't pass up. Plus, a nephrologist from University of Pennsylvania answers the question, how much water should we really drink each day?
Thanks for spending this half hour with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's show, email us at takecare@wrvo.org. This episode of Take Care is also available as a podcast on the WRVO website. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And until next time, take care.
The information presented on Take Care is offered for educational and informational purposes only and should not be construed as personal medical advice. You should consult with your personal physician or caregiver regarding your own medical care. Take Care is a production of WRVO Public Media, written and produced by Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen, edited and engineered by Leah Landry. Catherine Loper is executive producer. Support for Take Care comes from the Health Foundation for Western and Central New York.